Hey, it's Aaron Hogan, Genesis driver, encouraging you to experience the difference between ordinary and extraordinary with the Genesis GV80 at Genesis of Round Rock. You'll discover bold design, advanced technology, and refined power. And this month at Genesis of Round Rock, enjoy ultra-low APR financing, just 0.49% APR for up to 48 months on select 2026 GV80 models. You heard that right, 0.49%. Get out there and see them at Genesis of Round Rock, 2201 North May Street, or explore your options online at genesisofroundrock.com. Luxury never looks so good. Welcome to Genesis.
From the 102.7 ESPN studios in Austin, Texas, this is the Jeff and Ed Show.
Hi again, everyone. I'm Ed Clements. Welcome to the show. I was talking to myself. Where's the damn microphone? It was right in front of me. Hello again, everyone. Welcome to the show. A rainy Thursday again. I hope you're dry. I know it's been really bad for a lot of folks in the Hill Country, and our thoughts go out with them. And, you know, don't drown. Drive. Don't try to risk it when you go through low water areas. But I know it's unbelievable, but the same thing has happened just about a year and a week after the tragedy last year at Camp Mystic and everything. But I hope everybody is hale and hearty this afternoon for the show. I'm Ed Clements. Jeff will be back on Monday. Joined this afternoon again by my two compadres, the younger guys, Trey Campbell and Kyle Owen, back for another 2 hours of fun to talk sports and life. Kyle, boy, how are you doing today?
Cannot complain. Yeah, living a great life right now.
Me living a great life, too. Well, the comedians here, Trey Campbell, the distant cousin, nephew of the legendary Earl Campbell. Of course, he's a different pigmentation, but that's neither here nor there. How are you today, Trey, boy?
I'm doing pretty good.
Good?
Yeah, I'm kind of happy we have some rain. I obviously hate it for everybody in the Hill Country.
Yeah.
Hope everybody's okay, but I'm doing pretty good.
Good. You know, I'm just hanging out. I'm feeling okay after the surgery this week. My face is a little
healing up a little bit.
Yeah, you know.
It's down, better than it did yesterday.
I was down at the Hispanic station, and I convinced him I got in a knife fight. They believed, oh, senor, what happened? Knife fight down at the bar you go to down here around Rumble. Oh, you went there. Yes. Knife fight. Yes. How did the other guy look? Bad. Hombre was down. They have got him convinced that I was in a knife fight. Oh, I like radio to make believe down there with those people. They're fun. Fun radio station. El Pato down at Lazi. We got a lot to talk about today. I woke up early today. I woke up, gosh, a little after 7 so I could see Scotty Scheffler, the former Longhorn, at the British Open. He teed off at 3:58 this morning, so I saw him early in the back nine and watched his rest of the nine and watched just about all morning long. And it, that damn golf course, it's brown.
Mm-hmm.
It's brown. Again, I went by Hancock today. That looks like Augusta National on steroids. It's so green because of all the rain. But at Birkdale in the northwest or west corner of England, it's brown because they haven't had any rain. The greens are getting splashy. Everything's going to be brown by the weekend. But it was an exciting day, and an unknown star has the lead. A guy by the name of Jackson Suber. He grew up in Florida, but he played his golf at Ole Miss. He played in Oxford, Mississippi for the Rebels. He shot a 5-under par 65, his first ever competitive British Open round, and he shoots 5-under par. So he is the lead. A couple players at -4. Sun J.M. from the good Korea is at -4. Dan Brown of England is at -4. I don't know who Dan Brown is. Thomas Dietrich of Belgium. Bobby McIntyre. Francesco Molinari. Alex Smalley. Bryson DeChambeau, Ryan Jarmusch, MJ Duffy, former Longhorn Pearson Cootie, Cam Young are all at -3. So it's not Scotty Scheffler or Jordan Spieth, the low Longhorn boys, after day one. It's young Pearson Cootie, whose grandfather is Charlie Cootie, who won the 1971 Masters. Pearson and his brother Parker helped lead the Longhorns to a national title a few years ago. And he had a sterling round of 3 under par today, 67. He bogeyed number 18. His grandfather, Charlie, who I've gotten to know, because Charlie's from Stanford and Abilene and Texas, Northwest Texas, where I'm from, Brownwood. And I used to meet him a lot, met him, interviewed him several times. Charlie Cootie played in one British Open in 1971. Guess where it was? It was Birkdale.
Wow.
So his granddad played in one British Open. That's kind of cool. So the other Longhorn, Scotty Scheffler, the former Longhorn, struggled a bit today, but it's a good start. He's only 3 shots off the lead. He shot 2 under par, 68, so that is good news for Scotty Scheffler. A lot of guys are at -2, including Colin Morikawa. He's at -2 with Scotty. At -1, guys like Alex Fitzpatrick, whose brother I liked and who Trey picked, Matt Fitzpatrick, Alex Fitzpatrick, -1. Tyrrell Hatton, who we talked about yesterday with Mark Brooks, -1. Tommy Fleetwood, who used to sneak on Birkdale as a kid, is at -1, as is Live Bad Boy John Rahm. He's at -1. A lot of guys at -1. Also at -1, Keegan Bradley, Shane Lowry, who had a 4-putt today. The big man from Northern Ireland had a 4-jack, but he overcame that. He shot 1 under par 69. Those at even par include Russell Henley, Victor Hovland. Oh, God, did you guys see Victor Hovland today?
Mm-mm.
Jeez. The guy, you know, he's got all the money in the world, and he was wearing pants today, looked like they were issued by Huntsville. They were prison pants. They really were.
They seem comfortable.
Well, he looked comfortable. Looked like
that's what it's all about.
Well, it's all about comfort, but I guess he's selling a lot of those pants over in Europe. But he is at even par. Former Baylor Bear, Johnny Kiefer, in San Antonio resident even. Koepka shot even. Ricky Don't Lose That Number Fowler was 1 over, along with Max Homa. So +1 is it tied for 59. You got to go down the list and look at the twos. And there are a lot of big names, 2 and 3. Patrick Reed, who you like, Trey, didn't you?
Yeah, he's a good one.
He wasn't very good today. Two over par, 72, but he's not that much out. He's tied 85th. Matt Fitzpatrick, the guy that I like, that I think you picked.
Yeah.
He shot 2 over. Who else shot 2 over? Adam Scotty was celebrating a birthday, shot 2 over par. Oh, Lord. Rory McIlroy.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't putt today. Did y'all see that? He was the king of the lip outs. He could not putt today. He shot 2 over. Looking down at another Longhorn, Jordan Spieth shot 3 over par, a 73. 3 over 73. So he is 8 shots off the pace. He can still make some noise, but he is going to have to hump it to make the cut. It'll be top 40 in ties or top 50 in ties, but he's got to make the cut. Wyndham Clark, one of your favorites. Who had Wyndham Clark?
I think Kyle.
Kyle, you
did,
had Wyndham Clark?
Right?
I think you did. Yeah, I got to look. I got it right here.
Yeah.
He shot +3.
I had McIntyre, Rory, and I can't read this.
I think
this
you had Wyndham Clark, Ed.
No, I had Scotty.
Trey had Clark.
Oh, it was me.
Yeah, you got,
okay.
Yeah. I had Wyndham Clark. I've got Scotty, Fleetwood, and Rahm all in good shape. Trey's got Matt Fitzpatrick, Wyndham Clark, and Patrick Reed. All over par, sorry. And Kyle has Rory over par, Xander, and McIntyre. Bobby McIntyre had a good round. So that's the situation at the British Open at Birkdale. It appeared the guys that played in the morning had the advantage. The morning they had the advantage in the golf tournament today. Tomorrow, Scotty Scheffler and Jordan Spieth will be playing in the afternoon. So we're going to talk more about the British Open. Or the Open, as they call it, at just after 5 o'clock. Nick Pateman is a friend of mine. He's an Englishman living now in Austin. Tried to turn pro in England. Didn't quite make it. Married a girl from Austin. Moved here. He's now the director of golf at Butler Pitch and Putt. And he is doing a whale of a job. He is also one of the leading golf instructors in all of Austin. Yeah, and he teaches at a pitch and putt, but he's a master at putting and really, really good. And a lot of his friends, including Matt Wallace and Tommy Fleetwood and others are playing in this tournament. He played against when he was a kid. We'll talk to him just after 5 o'clock here on 102.7 ESPN. Other topics today we're going to get into. Top 10 all-time pro football coaches. Top 10. This list was from CBS. We didn't get to it yesterday. You guys are not going to remember half this list, half the top 10. And I've got some questions how they came up with this. Also, LeBron James, not ready to reveal his next team. He's just jerking our chain.
Yeah, he's building a. He's soft launching it.
Yeah, he's building the whole deal.
I think it's going to be the Warriors Cavs, one of those two.
I think it's going to be the Warriors, too.
I feel like it's kind of done because I heard Steve Kerr, somebody asked, when are y'all going to announce LeBron to the Warriors? And he said, it's already done. Announce that.
I think LeBron's going to stay there because going to be the Warriors because he lives in L.A. Mm-hmm. Family's there.
Yep.
Bronny plays for the Lakers still. Yeah, he signed a 2-year deal.
I guess
yeah.
Wherever he's going to go.
No, he signed a deal with the Lakers.
Yeah, Bronny extended.
Good for him.
He got his contract extended, and then LeBron says he was leaving.
Yeah.
But I believe, and I heard this today, I believe on Colin Cowherd or somebody today when I was driving in, that he felt like, and I feel the same way, he's going to go to the Golden State Warriors to play with Steph Curry and Draymond Green, and with Steve Kerr.
And to drink some wine.
And to drink some fine-ass wine. And, you know, in the NBA, he got some off time. He can get on his own jet and be down to L.A. in, what, 40 minutes or something?
Yeah, something like that. It's quick.
So it's quick. So I think he's going to do that. I don't think he's going to Cleveland.
I would.
Why would you go to Cleveland?
They've got a good team. They've got some good young players, and Mobley and Jared Allen and Donovan Mitchell is a good scorer. So I think that would be the perfect place to go. And you know, you could have Bryce come back home and his son Bryce. You know, all these guys, his family, they can all go back to Cleveland and kind of reconnect with their roots. And they're a good team. So they were the Eastern Conference Finals. I think you have a good chance to win. I think you have a better chance to win on the Cavs than you do the Warriors.
Well, he's played for the Cavs before. He's a native of Ohio. But I see that as long ago and damn far away. I don't know about y'all. I just don't see him going back. And I don't know. The basketball season, to me, is so long now. And the East just prods along. I think the excitement is in the West. Yeah. OKC, San Antonio, Golden State, Denver.
The thing about the West is if he's looking to compete for a championship, he's going to have OKC and San Antonio and Denver all in front of him.
I know,
and
the
Golden
Warriors. State, yeah.
So that's
kind
of your best of both worlds type of thing.
The East is getting better, though. I will say that.
Yeah, the Heat got Giannis.
The Heat's better.
Mm-hmm.
New York, of course, surprised the world
winning
the NBA championship. Cleveland has traced it as good. Another West team that I heard on the list today was Minnesota. I think Minnesota is very good, too. They're a player away, but I just can't see LeBron saying, yes, I want to move to Minnesota and freeze my ass off.
It's either going to be, I'd say, the Warriors, the Cavs, or the Heat. Those would be my three teams I think he'd go to. Or the Sixers. I mean, they're a wild card. But
see, that's the thing.
I heard that he laughed at whoever tried to get him to the Sixers. Oh, that was Indiana. Never mind. See, somebody tried to get him
to
Indiana.
The Pacers,
he just
Pacers,
laughed at him straight up.
Ha! Ha, he cried.
Going to the Spurs wouldn't be the worst thing to do. I mean, you could kind of have them be the veteran for that young team, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Ultimately, I believe he's looking for a championship, but also I think he's looking for a place that he's going to feel comfortable and welcome with friends, and it won't be the end of the world if he doesn't make it to the championship.
Right.
But one of you, I guess it was you, Trey. If he goes to the West, you got a really good Oklahoma City team in front of you. You got Victor and the young Spurs team. You got the Joker in Denver in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you got Minnesota and Rudy Gobert and those other guys up there. So, and he knows that he plays in the West. He knows all that and everything. So we will see. He's just waiting. Because I guess after the World Cup, which concludes on Sunday, the British Open, which, in fact, sort of the golf season sort of stops. So I guess he's probably going to wait till first week in August, maybe. I don't know, first week in August.
Maybe next week. I don't know. Maybe he said so. Not too much longer. So
yeah, I think it's going to be Golden State. All right. Where do people get with us on X? At Ed Clements 590.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or at Jeff Ward Show.
Yeah, one of those two. Or at ESPN 1027.
I wouldn't tweet at Jeff right now.
Oh, tweet at him. He's on a beach drinking beer.
Yeah.
Tweet at Jeff
He'll
right now.
He'll still read them.
Oh, no, he won't.
You don't think so?
He'll throw that phone in the Caribbean Sea. Because the last time I talked, I said, what are you, having a good time? Yes. Drinking. That was it.
That's
yes,
a good point.
Drinking. But so we will see on that. Got a ton to talk about. We're going to take a break. After this break, my buddy Kyle Owen got real excited a little while ago. He walked in and said, look what came in the mail today. Did you get it in the mail? Did you get it in the mail?
It wasn't today, but yeah, I got it in the mail.
Look what's in the mail. Look what's in the mail. It's Texas Football Magazine. We're going to talk about this. And oh, how times have changed with Texas, Dave Campbell's Texas Football Magazine. We'll discuss that and much, much more. I'm Ed Clements with Trey Campbell and Kyle Owen here on your source for sports. And by the way, Aaron Olgan next week at the SEC Media Days. Must listen radio all week long.
Trailing too.
And Trey's going too with E and Trey. That's going to be a whole bunch of fun as we hear from all the SEC coaches. Some, I don't care. A lot of them, I care what they say, especially that guy with the initials SS over there, who's the head coach of the Texas Longhorns, Steve Sarkisian, and Arch Manning will be there as well. All right, back with more 102.7 ESPN right after this.
Jeff Ward and Ed Clements, afternoons 4 to 6 on 102.7 ESPN. You're listening to the Jeff and Ed Show on 102.7 ESPN.
Hey, back on this Thursday afternoon, I'm Ed Clements along with my buddies Kyle Owen and Trey Campbell. Jeff will be back next week here on 102.7 ESPN. He'll be on vacation. Jackson Suber leads the British Open. And you go, Ed, who in the heck is Jackson Suber? Well, let me tell you. He's a young guy, 26 years old, playing in his first British Open. Today was his first ever round of the British Open. And he shot 5 under par, 65. He played his college golf at Ole Mississippi. He's an Ole Miss guy, SEC guy, so that's good for Jackson Suber. I would better bet to anybody out there, with all due respect to Jackson Suber, he will not be in the top five come Sunday afternoon because there are players lurking. Scotty Scheffler's around. Scotty had a good round today, minus two, only three shots back. Sadly, our buddy Jordan Spieth did not have a good round. He's over par, three over par. Rory McIlroy, same thing as Jordan Spieth. The low Longhorn of the day was not Scottie Scheffler. It was Pearson Cootie. Pearson and Parker Cootie helped Texas win a national title in golf a few years ago. Son of Kyle Cootie, buddy of mine who played golf at Texas for Jimmy Clayton. And, of course, his grandfather, Charlie, won the Masters in 1971. More on the British Open later with our friend Nick Pateman, director of golf at Butler Pitch and Putt. He played on the European circuit and big European golfer. Well, my buddy Kyle came in today and said, look, Ed, look what came in the mail. And it was an unopened Texas Football Magazine, Dave Campbell's Texas Football Magazine. I love Dave Campbell's Texas Football Magazine. I used to love it more when I was a kid. It's gone too commercial to me, but that's the way of the world. There's no magazines out there, and they've got to do this. But Dave Campbell's Texas Football Magazine was always a thrill. In mid-July, when I would go to Coggin Drug or Palace Drug in Brownwood and get my copy of Texas Football Magazine, because there would always be a great cover. I remember Coach Roll on the cover, Spike Dykes on the cover, Grant Taff on the cover, all the Aggies on. It was always a thrill, because not only you could read about the Longhorns, but they broke down the high school football season. Every district, every team in every district in high school. And it was always fun to see where my Brownwood Lions, what they had them predicted, and my buddies whose name were in Texas Football Magazine. That was always huge. It's gone a little commercial for me now because it looks It looks like it's about 400 pages, mostly ads, but it still has the greatest resource, I believe, fellas, for high school football in Texas. And we were just reminded, Kyle was looking at it during the break.
Guess what? 400 pages exactly.
400 pages. 400 exactly. He reminded me that, you know, Westlake and Lake Travis are no longer with Austin High. They're in a separate district. Austin High is now with Hutto and Dripping and things. They split that district up, so that's going to be fun to read about that. But also, it's always special to see the covers of the Dave Campbell football magazines. Like I said, Coach Royal, oh gosh, Spike, Ernie Coy, Scott Appleton, all the greats. Colt McCoy was on the cover one time. Sonny Dykes. I guess Sonny and Spike were one of the few, if they may be the only father-son on the cover of Texas football. But today, as Kyle unveiled his Texas football magazine, guess who is on the cover of Texas football? Would you tell our listening audience who is on the cover of Texas Football Magazine 2026?
Red Raider Inc.
Red Raider Inc., it says.
The centerpiece is Joey McGuire, and then underneath him is Cody Campbell, James Blanchard, and then Kirby Hokut, the athletic director of Texas Tech, and then Ben Roberts, their captain, is
on the cover.
That's on there as well.
Okay, there it is right there.
So Joey McGuire, centerpiece, and then the three big heads in the middle, and then you got one player underneath them. So it's a feature piece of all of the new stuff going on in college football. The modern college football machine is
okay. I don't mean to be, and I've got a lot of friends at Tech. I lived in Lubbock for a while, worked for my buddy Ken Hatch, a former chancellor. But that, to me, is somewhat disgusting. With all due respect to Cody Campbell, the money guy, the chairman of the Board of Regents, the finance guy, to be on the cover of Texas Football Magazine, saying that. He did play football for Tech, was a high school football player, but golly. Football's changed when you've got your big money guy on the cover of Texas football, the guy who pulls the strings. Am I being too unfair to Tech and Cody Campbell by that assertion? But your thoughts on that, fellas?
I mean, I think that having your NIL boosters on the cover of the Texas football magazine is a little wild to me. It's obviously something we've never seen before. I think that having Cody Campbell, you know,
in a story
is fine, but like, I mean, having him front and center on the front page of Texas Football Magazine is definitely a first. And so I think it is interesting. I mean, you did mention the fact that he did play football, and so
played for Mike Leach. Yeah,
there's a quote in here. It says the trajectory of my entire life was changed by the Texas Tech football program, so I wasn't going to let it die. There was a point there that if we just stuck our heads in the sand and did nothing, we were at risk, and we had to do something about it. And so, therefore, poured money into it.
And that, yeah, you're right. Sold his oil company, and he's a master for oil guy. Sold it twice, Diamondback once, and I'm not sure the other one, but billions of dollars. And he's buying championships.
Yeah.
Buying championships. Also on the cover is Kirby Hokut, a guy I've known a long time. He's a nice, nice guy, the athletic director, but he has very little control over anything anymore because Kirby Hokut is not Kirby Hokut doesn't make the decisions now. Yeah. It's Cody Campbell.
It seems like Hokut thinks that he's in control of the state, though.
Read his quote. Says, yeah. Read this quote. I hope Del Conte sees this, and hope the folks at OU see this, and I hope who's your A&M AD?
Trev Alberts.
I hope he sees this. Read what Kirby Hokut said today in Texas football.
So Hokut said, I've always thought that we could be the absolute best athletic department in the state of Texas. When you're the best in Texas, you're going to be relevant nationally. And I believe that we're at the top.
Wow. Wow. No more little brother for Tech. We're at the top. I'm saying that. You've bought your way into a great football team. No doubt about it. You're spending more money than even the University of Texas and Texas A&M. Your basketball program is excellent because you've got a great coach. Mm-hmm. Plus, you spend a boatload of money. Your women's softball team is great. Two straight national title series. Of course, you've lost to Texas both years, but you've bought your way into that. I don't know. I just don't like this direction of college football. I really find it unseemly. And saying that, I know there's unseemly things that go on down the street at the 40 acres. I know that. I know they have pay for play. If Steve Sarkisian wants a player, he goes to Chris Del Conte, who then goes to a bunch of guys that I know, wealthy guys, and say, we need the money to get this guy. And they go, okay, let's do it. Because just like they do in Lubbock at Texas Tech, University of Texas boosters, Aggie boosters, OU boosters, Ohio State, Michigan, they love to win. And they want to win, and they are freely spending their money. But it just seems a little unseemly to me to have Cody Campbell on the cover. Dovetailing into another story today. This story comes from The Athletic today. Mm-hmm. This shows how politicians work and what motivates politicians. And we all knew this was the case. Jeff and I joked about it for weeks that this happened. And now we know, in fact, this incident did happen. This story again from The Athletic. One day before the office of Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton released a scathing letter threatening legal action against the Big 12 Conference if it moved to sanction Texas Tech over quarterback Brendan Sorsby's eligibility status, Tech Board of Regents, Chair, billionaire booster, and man on the cover of Texas Football Magazine, Cody Campbell donated $275,000 in support of Paxton's U.S. Senate campaign. God Almighty, he donates $250,000 over that to Ken Paxton, and lo and behold, the next day, Ken Paxton, one of the most unseemly AGs in the history of Texas, works for his man, Cody, fires at that letter. This is from according to a recent batch of campaign finance records filed by the Federal Election Committee. Campbell made the donation on June 10th to Paxton, SPICTRI, a joint fundraising committee for Paxton run against James Tallarico on June 11th. Ongoing run for Senate as the Texas on June 11th, Paxton's Attorney General office sent that letter to the Big 12 Conference on behalf of Texas Tech University, stating any penalties imposed by the Big 12 regarding Sorsby would be considered unlawful and met with legal action.
I like this next part where it says, or a little further down, it says Campbell declined. Texas State's Attorney General Ken Paxton has not responded. Texas Tech has not responded. So they're just trying to keep it under the table.
Under the table,
not even talk about it at all.
Ladies and gentlemen, we all know that money runs politics, but good gosh. One day after he donates, it was actually $274,000 and something, almost $275,000. Ken Paxton writes this letter on behalf of Cody Campbell. That's how politics works in this state, sadly. That's how politics works in the nation. And our attorney general got the word from Cody. Help me out.
Took a bribe.
Well, it's not a bribe.
I mean,
it was legal. It's a legal transition, Kyle.
Yeah.
It's legal when you donate to a campaign, but that is influence. That is influence. So just remember that. Just remember that when you go to the polls and you find out not only this happened with Ken Paxton, but it happens to your favorite Democrats. It just makes me want to puke. But sadly, that is the way of the NCAA world now. I'm sure there are things over there coming out of the 40 acres at Belmont High that would curl your toes. But I don't think I've ever seen anything like this, where the very next day, I don't believe my friend Kevin Eltif, the chairman of the UT Board of Regents, has ever donated a huge amount of money, and the very next day, the governor or Paxton or somebody did something for him. You know why? Because he has scruples. He's got scruples. So I don't know. I just had to bring that up. And again, I don't want to pick on Texas Tech, but golly, we have created our own monster in college football. It's the monster. And how far will this go? I don't know. But the audacity of Kirby Halkett to say today in this Texas Football Magazine article, we are now, what do you say, the number one program?
I believe that we are at the top.
We're at the top of the food chain, the programs, and the state of Texas. Yeah. And why?
Hey, oh, guess who won the Director's Cup today?
Yeah, Kirby, guess who won that today? University of Texas did for the best athletic department.
In the nation.
Just because you don't have the most dough, just because you have the most dough, doesn't make you the best. We're the best because we can money whip any sumbitch out there. We can do that. But, wow. I feel for Joey McGuire, who's an honorable, good coach. I've met him a few times. I hear he's a really good guy. But this thirst to win has been taken to new levels. You know, I believe that Cody Campbell has more. He wields his power more than Jerry Jones. Am I wrong in that, guys? He's acting like he's an NFL owner.
Yeah, I think it's more similar, like more even. I don't know about more than Jerry Jones. Nobody's more hands-on than Jerry Jones.
Yeah.
I don't think. I mean, but I guess more now that Jerry's older, he has Steven doing a lot of the other stuff instead of him.
Yeah.
And so I guess maybe Jerry Jones 15 years ago, more similar to that. But, he's definitely taking a page out of Jerry Jones' book and putting his hands all over everything.
You know, and I know I'm going to get some calls for some tech people, friends of mine saying, hey, get off our ass because we're doing the same thing that Texas has been doing the last few years since NIL. And you know what? They're right.
But they're not.
They're not sending letters to politicians to go to bat for us
and gloating about it on front page. I wonder if they paid for front page.
You know,
most likely.
I wouldn't be surprised if they call the great people in Waco and said, "Where is the headquarter now? Dallas." Dave Campbell passed away sadly a few years ago. I wonder if they go, "Hey, we want to be on the cover. Make us on the cover." But boy, they have. This is another new. Oh my gosh, for Raider Power. Who should be in the playoffs again. Don't get me wrong. They're going to win again, and they'll be good again in basketball because they spend money, and they got a great coach, too. It's not all just about money. They've got a really, really coach. They should have gone a lot farther, but their Toppin got injured for the Tech basketball team. But, wow. Coming up next, more on college football and pro football. Then, just after 5 o'clock, we will talk more about day one of the British Open with our friend Nicky Pateman, an Englishman living now in Austin who runs Butler Pitch and Putt, also one of the finest instructors in all of Austin. We'll talk about him. A lot of his friends are in the field. He played against him when he was a youth in Great Britain trying to make the European Tour and the PGA Tour. That's all coming up next here on 1027 ESPN.
Jeff Ward and Ed Clements. Afternoons 4 to 6 on 1027 ESPN. You're listening to the Jeff and Ed Show on 102.7 ESPN.
Okay, we're back on the show on this Thursday. I'm Ed Clements along with Trey Campbell and Kyle Owen. Jeff's on vacation. He'll be back on Monday. We've been talking college football, talking about the cover of Texas Football Magazine. Among others on the magazine cover, the most prominent picture, which it should be, Joey McGuire, the head football coach. But to the side of Joey is Cody Campbell, the big money man, the chairman of the Board of Regents, the back man, the money guy for Texas Tech. And then there's Colby Halkett, the athletic director. Yeah. Nice guy. Also, we learned today that Cody Campbell gave Ken Paxton's campaign $275,000 in June during the controversy with the quarterback.
Yeah, Brennan Sorsby.
Sorsby deal. He gives Paxton's campaign $275,000, and lo and behold, the very next day, Ken Paxton wrote a fiery letter to the Big 12 saying, "You mess with Tech, we're going to sue you." And many people believe, many legal experts believe, this was a catalyst when it went against Tech. It kind of backfired, but that just shows what money will do. You know, the age-old question with many college athletic programs, are we a basketball school? Are we a football school? Are we something else? In my lifetime, it's never been a question at Texas A&M in Texas. Football, football, football. But again, another article today in The Athletic is interesting about, is your team, is your college a football school or is it a basketball school? I think some colleges out there think, oh yeah, we're football. We're football all the way. For example, Indiana won a national title last year in football. They have been historically very, very good in basketball, winning national titles with Bob Knight. Haven't been in the last few years, but when it came to the Big Ten, they listed Indiana not as a football school, still as a basketball school, because they say it was great that Cignetti and Indiana won the football title, but most of those people in the state adore and love their college basketball, so they said Indiana was a basketball school.
And the opposite for Michigan, even though they just won a basketball national championship, they are still a football school.
Still a football, Ohio State, still a football school. In the Big 12, Arizona, let's go down, Arizona and the SEC. Arizona, it's a men's basketball school. Lute Olson, of course, was a legend for Arizona. They consider Arizona, where Sean Miller came from, our Longhorn coach here, men's basketball, Arizona State, football. Frank Cush in the 60s, John Cooper, Bruce Snyder and others, they consider that a football school. The Baylor Bears, what would you think, Trey? Is Baylor, what would Baylor be? Football, basketball, baseball, what is it?
Well, the last time I can remember them having any major success in sports was when they won that basketball tournament. A couple years ago, I think, was it 2020?
2021.
Yeah. So I'd say they're probably a basketball school, but you never really know because they kind of go on runs where they're really good at football. They've had, like, some that the golden age of...
They had Grant Taft, and they had a... help me out, Stephenville.
Art Briles.
Art Briles. They were great. But according to this,
I'd say basketball.
They call them a basketball school.
And men's and women's basketball, not just one or the other, because Baylor has three national championships, which is tied for the third most of all time
in
any school.
Cruella DeVille used to coach there. She left there to go to LSU. Yeah.
Cruella DeVille.
Cruella. Cruella DeVille. Yeah. You know, remember?
Yeah, she's very...
101 Dalmatian.
Didn't she say, if they don't sign with Baylor, punch him right in the face?
Punch him right in the face. Yeah, she's fun to watch. She's not LSU. BYU, football school.
Yeah. I'd say football.
They've got a great...
Ever since Steve Young, pretty much.
Steve Young?
Even then, before, after...
You know who was after Steve Young?
Was it the dude from the Bears? What's his name?
Jim McMahon.
Yeah.
How about that dude who coaches the Longhorns, Steve Sarkisian?
Oh yeah, he was there too.
I've got a friend who bought Steve Sarkisian's house when Steve Sarkisian left Tuscaloosa for Austin, and sometime this fall, I shall present Steve Sarkisian with this friend of mine who bought his house with Steve Sarkisian's MVP award from the Cotton Bowl. He won the MVP of the Cotton Bowl when he was quarterback for BYU, and he left it in his basement. He left it in his basement.
What a mistake.
So, I'm going to present it to him after a news conference sometime this year.
Well, that's nice of you. I'm sure he'll appreciate that.
I think he will. So, BYU, a football school.
I think it tied Detmer and went A&M beating him in the bowl game.
Oh, yeah.
After he won the Heisman, absolutely dismantled him.
There's so much fun.
I always think of the 1989 Holiday Bowl.
Oh, with SMU? Yeah. Was that the SMU
No, that
game?
Was BYU versus Penn State.
Penn State?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
50-31.
They had some legendary games with SMU, too. Okay, Cincinnati. Never thought of them as a football school.
I mean, the past 10 years, they were in the playoffs.
Luke Fickell won.
Yeah, Luke Fickell was great.
Yeah, boy, Luke Fickell's on the hot seat. So
yeah,
is
he's probably getting fired
at Wisconsin. I'm shocked about that. I guess Wisconsin doesn't spend any money. I don't know how far cheese will go.
Yeah,
cheese starts.
They've kind of become a little bit of a basketball school, though, Wisconsin. They won that tournament, I think, in, 2015?
They're good. They've been a good basketball program.
Yeah.
Colorado, Football.
Yeah, football for
marijuana.
Sure.
Marijuana. They're a marijuana school.
Fly fishing.
They're fly fishing and dope. They say Colorado's a football school. Houston, the Houston Cougars. What do you think, Trey? You're a Houston guy?
Yeah, I'm going basketball. I mean, as good as their football team has been, and they've had runs where with Tom Herman and all those guys, I still think U of H is a basketball school because, you know, you got Fly Slamma-Jamma.
Oh, God, they were great. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then and now you've kind of got a resurgence with Calvin Sampson.
Oh, it's a great story.
So, yeah, they're basketball all the way.
Yeah, definitely basketball. I mean, they did invent the veer.
Bill Yeoman.
Yeah, Bill Yeoman invented the veer. So, I mean, you can have that. But I think they're, besides Baylor and Houston, those are the only two non-football focused schools in the state.
I think so too. Yeah, I think so too. So they have men's basketball, even though Yeoman did a great job, and this new coach now is doing a great job.
Yeah, he's great. Yeah. I think he might be Big 12 Coach of the Year. That's my hot take.
Iowa State, who's in a funk right now because their coach left and they got all new players, they say Iowa State is still a football school.
Yeah.
Well, still a football school.
I think you could consider them a wrestling school as well. They're always pretty good in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kansas, no doubt about it. They will always be a men's basketball school.
Yep.
Always. I remember I've never been to a game in Lawrence, but Longhorn fans said that they played Kansas in an afternoon game and they had a scrimmage that started right after the football game. Half the stands left to go to the basketball game. Hmm. So they have Kansas as basketball, Kansas State football, great legacy there.
Oh yeah.
Oklahoma State, what would it be? Oklahoma State.
Football. It's got to be football.
No.
Really?
Wrestling.
Really?
I didn't know about
34
that.
Team national championships and 148 individual national
championships. I didn't know they were that dumb.
Wrestling.
Yeah, they're really good.
Wrestling.
It's because there's no wrestling in Texas either, so they get everybody from down here too.
Interesting.
Yeah. Texas Tech, now football. Even though they play basketball well.
I'd say women's college softball.
Women's softball. They're not over the hump. They can't beat Texas, but you know what?
They definitely put some money into it.
They put a lot of money into it. So they have Tech as football, Mike Leach, my buddy Spike Dykes, all those guys, and now Joy. Central Florida, yank. It's such a big – you realize Central Florida is like 50,000 students.
Yeah, isn't it in Orlando?
That's FAU.
Oh, it's FAU?
Yeah. Central Florida is up there, though. I don't think it's as big as A&M, but A&M and FAU are the top two in the nation, I think, with population. So
they were
it is a big school.
They were 13-0 with Scott Frost in 2017. They say football, Utah, football.
Yeah.
No doubt about that. And West Virginia, football.
They're trying to become a baseball school.
Yeah, that's what I was fixing to say. They're good at baseball.
Yeah,
now,
they're
right?
trying to.
Hard. That's hard to be good at baseball when you freeze your ass off on the baseball field. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's hard in those northern schools. So that's the Big 12. SEC, Alabama.
That's football.
Football
clearly.
All the way.
Even though their basketball team's getting better.
Yeah. Basketball team.
And their baseball team's getting
baseball
better.
Baseball team's
too.
Good, yeah. But Gene Stallings, Bear Bryant.
Oh, yeah.
Nick
oh, yeah.
Saban.
Alabama had Justin LeBron, right, on their baseball team that was really good.
They've had a lot of good players. Arkansas. This is surprising to me because when I used to think of Arkansas, well, used to be mostly football, but now you think of, and they call Arkansas a basketball school.
Yeah. I can see it.
Basketball school.
I think they also put a lot of money into baseball, too. I think they just built a new stadium there, too, for baseball. I feel like now that football has kind of been put on the back burner, I think that they're trying to put the emphasis on the other two of the big three in front of football.
Well, Eddie Sutton used to be the coach there, the great coach, went to Oklahoma State, and then Nolan Richardson, a spectacular coach, won the national title, and now John Calipari is there, and he's done a really, really good job. So it's interesting, though. Back when I was a kid, it was all football with Frank Broyles. Now, football is really down at Arkansas. They'll be in Austin this year. Auburn football. They won a national title. Gene Chizik, Tommy Tuberville. They were great with the Bo Jackson years when Jeff would play against him. Auburn football, Florida football, even though Billy Donovan won national championships for the basketball team, Florida is always going to be football. Georgia, no doubt about it.
Yep.
Forever and ever, they're going to be football. They've got a good women's gymnastics program too, but they it's all a football, which I believe will always be, even though they're good in baseball this year. Kentucky.
No-brainer.
Basketball.
Basketball. Yep. A blue blood of blue bloods. Kentucky Wildcats. You can see that with their football team. You know, got a new football coach this year, but Kentucky's always going to be a blue blood. LSU.
Football.
Football used to be baseball.
Yeah,
too.
I would say baseball was the...
Yeah.
The,
and they were good with basketball with Shaq.
Like football and baseball could be like a 1A, 1B.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they were good in basketball. Remember they
had, and they also had
Shaq.
Ben Simmons, too, for a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had
Pete
Ben Simmons.
Maravich, and then they had Big Baby, who was
Lynn Davis. Yeah,
who was really a thorn in Texas' side. So they got LSU football. Mississippi State, and you had to think about this, and you thought about it, you think, what is the most historic, one of the most historic of this program, and it's baseball.
Yeah, it's got to be baseball.
It's the only national championship that they have, I think, in any sport.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
I mean, football, they, you know, back when Dak was on the team, they had that their good little glory years there, but other than that, they've been pretty irrelevant in football.
They did improve this year.
They improved when Leach was there, and they proved this year, but then they, you know, screwed up against a lot. I don't know. It's say baseball.
Yep.
Missouri's interesting because I think Missouri's better in football.
Yeah.
But they say it's basketball.
They've had some great runs.
They have.
With Porter.
Yes.
With the Porter brothers.
Michael Porter Jr. Yeah. 31 tournament appearances and no Final Fours. Only BYU has more without reaching the final weekend. Tom Dorr, our buddy, we've had on the air, played at Missouri. Ole Miss football.
Yeah
it's all football all the time.
I mean, Archie and Eli.
Yeah, Archie and Eli and Lane Kiffin.
Odell Beckham Jr.
Odell, he was Odell.
That was LSU.
LSU. I saw the New York Giants colors in there.
Oklahoma. Football. Bud Wilkinson, Barry Switzer, Bob Stoops.
Just won a baseball national championship, though.
They have. And they've been good, very good in basketball. They came close against Danny Manning's team with Mookie Blaylock and those guys. South Carolina, women's basketball. Wow.
Yeah, Dawn Staley has been the...
They're the Alabama football of women's basketball, basically.
They're dominant.
Always good. Yeah. Always good. And they're trying to get better in football. You saw that firsthand when the Aggies got so far behind. Against South Carolina, and here came the Aggies to beat South Carolina. But yeah, and they
I like Shane Beamer, but I don't think his time is it's short, that's for sure.
Can't remember time when they were good in basketball either. Can't remember time. Okay, Tennessee, Rocky Top, Tennessee. Football.
Mm-hmm.
Great history there. Even though our buddy Rick Barnes has done a masterful job since leaving Texas.
Isn't their baseball team good too?
They're okay. They won a national championship. They beat A&M in the national championship 2 years ago.
And then their coach is now with the San Francisco Giants, the manager.
That was weird.
Yeah.
That's not working very well.
No,
you know,
it's not working.
You can make an argument for women's basketball with Pat Summitt at Tennessee.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Exactly. Oh, they were dominant. Oh, Lordy. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
you know, in Texas, you know, Texas men's basketball has never won a national title. Women won one in 86, Jody Conrad, and now Vic Schaefer is a great coach.
Mm-hmm.
A great coach. Yeah. So I think they're going to
should have been
one.
An Aggie.
Well, he went to Aggie, didn't he?
I know, yeah.
But I think Vic and the ladies are going to win. So Tennessee's football. This is Texas, they say, this is Stanford's closest challenger for the everything school title. It's football. Texas football, 2005 national champion. Coach Roll, Coach Akers, now Steve, and hope springs eternal this year for Arch and the guys.
I like the last sentence here. Also, it's about time Texas followed up that 2005 national title.
Agreed. Texas A&M football. Even though
they've got great basketball teams too.
They've been to the tournament more times in their history, but they're definitely still a football school.
Okay, yeah, Trey. Last time the Aggies won a national championship in football was
1939.
The same year that Hitler invaded Poland, my friend.
Yeah,
1939. A friend of my late father's was on that team.
Hmm.
1939.
It's hard for Kyle to hear.
I'm sorry, Kyle.
I hear it all the time. I've been living with it my whole life.
And finally, Vanderbilt. What do you recognize Vanderbilt
baseball
in the arena
of
sports? Football, basketball, baseball?
I would think baseball off the top of the mind. but apparently it's basketball.
That's what they say, and I guess so.
I guess I don't.
I hate their court. Their basketball court is very weird.
Didn't they have Zach Eddy?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, that court's weird. Where you got that drop off, and your the bench is on the
like it's baseline. So far away, and then the fans are like 15 feet behind everything.
Yeah,
like
it's weird.
It's really weird. Yeah,
looks like reminds me of some high school gyms I used to go to.
Yeah, weird, definitely
crazy high school gym. So that's it. I think Texas, you know, it's a football school, but by gosh, what a great baseball legacy Texas has, of course.
Yeah.
What a great golf legacy Texas has. And
rowing.
Rowing. That's right. Damn right.
Shout out to the rowing team.
Beach volleyball, my sport, my
sure,
women.
Yeah, those are your girls.
Yeah, my girls. But yeah, there's a lot. And it's, and again, as you said, Kyle, Texas won the All Sports Award, which was fantastic. Defeating Stanford, and Stanford has more sports. Stanford has every sport under the – they got everything.
Olympic sport galore.
Yeah. Stanford's probably the greatest swimming sport in all of America.
Well, you could argue for Texas, too, in
swimming
Florida.
School, yeah. Texas. Florida's number two, they said. Yeah. But they say Stanford's
well, Eddie Reese was so good for Texas so many years. So, all right, that's your list. Is your team a football school, a basketball school, or a baseball school?
Or something else.
It was very sad. I was looking at the Big Ten list. Did you see what they had for Northwestern? This is really sad.
Fencing?
Oh, I didn't see it.
No, Northwestern, they had women's lacrosse.
Nice.
Well, that's something.
And guess what they had? And this has got to be insulting to the fine folks at Nebraska. What do they have? Is the most dominant sport in Nebraska now?
Women's volleyball.
Yeah,
women's
their volleyball team's elite.
Oh,
well,
my Lord.
Until they face A&M in the national championship.
Oh, yeah, they lost.
Is that sad? Women's volleyball, the Big Red Machine, ain't no longer
Nebraska had a good basketball team this year.
This year they did.
It was the first time they ever made the tournament.
That's crazy.
But the football team, you guys are too young. Good Lord.
Well, I mean, they were good in the early 2000s as well.
Well, when Colt McCoy beat them at Jerry World.
But you're talking Tommy Frazier era.
Yeah, I'm talking about Tom Osborne and those guys.
Yeah,
they were so good.
Rozier. They're running back.
Mike Rozier. Here's another one from the Big Ten. Minnesota. What are they known for?
Minnesota? Hockey. Men's hockey.
Men's ice hockey. Yeah, men's ice hockey. Okay.
I'm in Quinnipiac or whatever it is.
We're watching the Mets. Is this in Philadelphia? Where is this game? Is it New York?
I think it's in New York.
They're wearing gray, so
it's
going to be
Philly.
Yeah, Citizens Bank.
Listen, those people better be careful because that smoke is engulfed it up there. Crazy. We got to take a break. After this break, more. Visit with Nick Pateman to talk about the British Open next. 102.7 ESPN.
Jeff Ward and Ed Clements. Afternoons 4 to 6 on 102.7 ESPN.